Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. We're an hour early today. It is Thursday, the 14th of September, 2017. I'm here with Ann Ordley. I'm Michael Kohlberg, a psychotherapist in Hudson, New York, and in New York City. Hi, Annie.
Hi, it's Ann. I'm an astrologer here on my bright red desk, and we're here at Scorpio's Talking to talk about what's going on in the world and how to work with that energy productively. I have a funeral today. My friend who I just said, you know, you're my first 100-year-old friend. Then she died. But, you know, you're 100. You're supposed to, you know, you're supposed to leave unexpectedly. So she took off one morning. She got up and was getting dressed and fell backwards on the bed and was dead after a long life with a couple of kids and a couple of grandchildren and a new great-grand who just arrived 2 months ago. And, you know, so I had a 100-year-old friend for a few days, and then she took off.
Well, that was a productive conversation you had with her.
I did. We had a great time. We had a great time. She was really, and I took all these really good, you know, I'm a good photographer. I don't know if you know that, Michael, but I have a pretty good eye.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a point in my life where I actually thought of being a photographer. I got a big Pisces moon, so I'm kind of visually oriented when I turn it on. So, and at any rate, I took some lovely pictures of the generations all together on her birthday and his 2 month debut in Ridgefield. He's a cute little baby boy. And his mom and dad came down. Her grandson is the father of New Tobin on Earth. And his mom, the daughter who's my friend, is like my older sister. You know, if I had an older sister, I would want her to be her. So we have a funeral today. Sad, but also, you know, the end of a nice long life. And a good, I tell you, you know, you got to tip over in the morning and die getting dressed. I think that's a great way to go. After watching a lot of people go long, hard slog. So I don't know how you sign up for a death like that, but I want one like that. And she was very cogent right till the end, you know, chatty and fun, and we had birthday cake, and she's like, you know, I'd like a second piece of cake, but I don't really want cake, I just want some icing. And Marianne's like, okay, and give her icing, you know, and it was a big Italian fest, and lasagna, and, you know, it was really good. And then she took off a couple days later, so can't want for loving like that. So
no.
And this week, we all have a lot of Venus in the sky, so we're all going to get fun to have fun, finally, after a long, hard eclipse transit. The eclipse is released next couple days when we have the new moon next week. It's technically over, but Venus is going to come and hit the eclipse point. She hits the nodes this week, so watch for important connections, people who come in that you meet or that you like or that you know, that are young women or people that are about money or love or value. So it's a nice week for that, finally, after a lot of stress. So in my family, my father was evacuated, and my stepmother was, and they were evacuated to separate places. And he gets a little forgetful. So they all got back to the nursing home, and he did not recognize her, which really freaked her out. And so for 2 days, he didn't recognize her. And then yesterday, Venus hit the North Node, and he remembered who she was. So everybody's happy. And I guess when old people get stressed like that, they sometimes forget people. So doctor said it was normal. You know, of course, we were all worried, but she's happy. He's happy. Life goes on. So, and my cat died.
Your cat died?
My cat died. Barkley died in my arms.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry.
Yeah. My little howling guy, the one that howls all the time.
Yes.
Yeah, he croaked the day before my birthday. So, yeah. And I had a birthday this week, Michael.
I didn't know.
Yeah, my September 11th.
Oh, birthday. Right.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Ann.
Thank you. I'm 63. So, I had a woman who's helping me throw things away. She's really good, Michael, if you need anybody.
No, I have somebody who's amazing.
Yeah, she's really good. But at any rate, so she keeps going. Now, in 16 years from now, you're going to be 80. So what do you want?
That's funny. What's her name? Her first name?
Pardon, the throwaway person?
Her first name, yeah.
Gisela.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she's really good.
I have Donna.
You have Donna, yeah. Yeah, no, she's a Virgo Pisces moon. She's really good. We got rid of 9 bags of stuff yesterday. So, but yeah, Barkley died in my arms on
suddenly?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I came out you know, morning is a big hoo-ha in our house because that's when the food happens. So I get up, and normally everybody follows me to the bathroom, and then everybody follows me to the kitchen, and the only one that was following me was Max, my little Taurus, who is always hungry. And I call, and nobody comes. You know, Remo and Barkley are nowhere to be seen. And so I come into the living room, and there's a big poo. And Barkley makes little tiny poos. I mean, it's a little gross, but he makes little poos the size of your pinky, and this is like a huge poo. I mean, I'm like, wow, that's a huge poo. Look like a person's poo. And he's trembling by the rocker, you know, just kind of hunched and trembling. And Remo's sitting right next to him, riding shotgun. And I'm like, Barkley, you okay? You know, and I'm petting him, and he's trembling, and I pick him up, and I'm holding him, and he's very frail, and no wiggle, no resistance, just very very soft, very, you know, very little muscle mass. And so I sit on the couch with him about 20 minutes, and I'm talking to him, and I'm petting him, and he's not doing the stuff he usually does, which is like burrow his head in my elbow and purr and kind of push, you know, knead me and all. But I'm talking to him, and I'm petting him and kissing him, and I'm saying to Remo, I think he might be sick. I think I may need to call the vet. And Remo's sitting next to me on the couch now, right? My little empath, my little Scorpio cat, you. And then I'm like, are you all right? What's going on? So I kind of talk to him, and then he kind of makes a move like he wants to get down. So I put him on the couch, and he goes step, step, and then he goes into a grand mal seizure. Falls off the couch, and I'm like, oh, okay, we're calling the vet. So I get, you know, you can't really stop a grand mal seizure. So I get up, I call the vet, and when I come back, he's dead. And that was what the poo was. I think he had a seizure before, and, you know, a stroke, and then he had a second one. Right, you know, because he was, there was something off with him when I picked him up. You know, so
I'm sorry.
Yeah. So he went off to the happy hunting ground, and so the vet was wonderful. She came by. She's a really good vet if you ever need a euthanasia pet. Or she also comes to your house and does house calls, like, for real pets, healthy pets. But she comes, and when I put Handsome to sleep, he hated the vet because the vet cut his balls off or cut his penis off. So, I mean, he and the vet had a real problem. And he peed on the vet and escaped. I mean, he'd see that vet and he'd take off. The guy cut his penis off. You know, he's got a memory. And so when she came, when he was sick, she came, and she's a Sag. She's from New Zealand. And he comes crawling out. He was hiding a little bit because the cats hide when they're nervous. And he came crawling out and was flirting with her, you know, like, hi, honey, because he loved the fire women. And when she put him to sleep, Remo hopped in the bag. She comes in with a little baby blanket and wraps them all up and puts them in, like, a nice carrier thing. Remo hyped in the carrier thing when Handsome was in there and hopped out. And so he hung out with us the whole time Dr. Wendy was here. And then he hopped in the carrier where Barkley was going. Barkley wasn't in there yet. And then he hopped out. And Max hid in the closet the whole day. So, you know, we have an ending here. So, but he was a good cat. He had a great end of life. He got here 9 months ago, and I'd looked at the chart when he arrived, and he was clearly going to die here because my sister and her husband moved to Germany for 5 years. And I'm like, well, he's with me till the end of life. My sister called me the retirement director. He had a hot blonde girlfriend, and Kate, my assistant, they had like a massive love affair. He was madly in love with her. She would come, and he would just howl at her all morning, and she would pet his chin, and they really had a big thing. And then he was the star of our radio show and my weekly weather because he would howl and everybody knew him. So he has a lot of Facebook honors. And then he lived in an apartment on the Upper East Side. So Capricorns, it always gets better at the end of life, as witnessed by this cat. You know, he had a good back end. Not that he had a bad time with my sister, but his initial life, he was a street cat. He was feral. So he had been rescued from the street. That's where he came from. So, but he was a good guy. He was a nice little talky Gemini. So we're back down to two. And a little sad. I actually miss him. You know, he used to annoy the hell out of me with his howling. But but he was blind, so we were trying to make him feel more calm. You know, he'd wake up and he'd howl, right, and we would talk to him so he would know we were here. And then, you know, he would howl all the time. He was a howler.
So are you going to remove the bells?
We got all the bells are gone.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I took taken Remo's bells off the day or two before. Because Remo had been the stealth cat. But now that he had a bell, Barkley knew he was there.
Mm-hmm.
So I, you know, and Remo really had liked being the stealth cat, like kind of zooming by him and not Barkley not knowing he was there. So Remo's bell I had taken off a day or two before Barkley died. But yeah, everybody's bell's gone. Max is happy to be bell free. So yeah, the bells are gone. And it's quiet here. No more angels getting their wings. All day long I kept hearing bells ringing, going, ah, angels are getting their wings. And now no angels are getting their wings. So that was a loss in my life, you know. And I, you know, not in a mean way, but Barkley was my 10th house cat, which is where my father is. So he croaked and my father didn't, because I was worried my father was going to die on my birthday. And he didn't die on my birthday. He just went off and got evacuated because he was in Irma's way. But now he's back home and everybody's healthy and happy and forward we go. So, and Barkley's gone. Yeah. He was a good guy. But I also feel like, you know, a good way to go, you get a lot of love right before you die. But clearly, I think the large poo was he'd had a seizure before, and he evacuated with that. And then, because when he had the second seizure, he didn't evacuate. Or when he died, he didn't evacuate. And that was a grand mal, so it would have popped everything out of him. So. Sad stuff, Michael.
Yes.
Yeah, and then I went to see The Man in the Red Bandana on my birthday, which I hadn't done any 9/11 stuff on my birthday in a long time, which was a documentary one of my friend's son-in-laws made about the guy who rescued all these people at in the second tower. He wore a red bandana that his father gave him when he was six, because he said to his father, why do you do pocket? And he goes, well, the one in the white one in my pocket's for show, and the one in the blue one in my pocket in the back is for blow. And so the dad had a blue bandana, and the kid had a red bandana. And he ran up and down the Trade Center, found an open stairwell, and got people out the stairwell. And they all said, this man in a red bandana helped me escape. So they did a documentary about him. So, and so, you know, nice little cry on 9/11, too. So it was good. But enough about me. What's going on in the world? What do we want to talk to people about? What are you running into in your life?
I was trying to think of how to organize that.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, we've been talking about something building that was going to be Earth.
Yes, yes. And you had that class last week, too. Yeah.
Yeah. So, there was the, you know, large earthquake in Mexico.
Yes.
But I'm not feeling like that was it.
I don't think that was it. Yeah, I don't
either. We hadn't talked about it. Oh, you didn't either, huh?
No.
Okay. So that didn't.
That didn't make it go away.
No. There's the two hurricanes at once.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And there's two more coming.
Which didn't finish it off, although it did denude some pricey real estate in the Caribbean. The pictures of some of the islands from satellite showed, you know, they're completely brown now,
yep,
as opposed to green. And some of the very, you know, St. Bart's shot, St.
Yep.
Martin's shot. Anyway, the that didn't feel like it was.
That didn't feel like it was.
Nothing's. Not, but, so that's that. So the things I came up with this morning, because I always get up a few hours ahead of doing this just to try to, like, settle,
mm-hmm,
or if I'm going to see clients. And the two words came to me are mask and, hold on, boundaries. Boundaries and masked. So,
M-A-S-K-E-D.
M-A-S-K-E-D.
Okay.
So, so I just sat with it. I mean, because I don't see things in words. I see them in pictures, and then I try to. But those are the words,
mm-hmm,
that I started out with.
Kind of like a tarot card deck in your brain, right?
I don't know. I haven't been in there.
Okay.
There's no room in there for me. So boundaries have been coming up a lot in session.
Yes.
And for me. Boundaries, I wrote a chapter in a book on the etiquette of adoption, but it really was about boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole point of boundaries is to facilitate interaction between human beings,
mm-hmm.
or a human being and a situation.
Right.
So that means, to my way of thinking, and I grew up in a situation where my boundaries were decimated.
Yep.
So I really needed to go to therapy and learn about boundaries, which took, you know, like, so that was a quick 40 years of stuff. And I have very porous boundaries because of my Pisces moon in the 11th house.
And your empath stuff.
Yeah. But I get accused of having no boundaries by people who have closed hearts, usually.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it peers, like, especially in the where does trickle back to me? People who need a one-up position in as therapists,
mm-hmm.
That has come back to me. And I really examine it, and it doesn't even trigger me. It's just they're full of shit. They just don't give it. They don't care.
Right.
I care.
Right.
But I actually have impeccable boundaries, I think, because they've been learned.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they didn't come innately to me, so it's something that always is there, and I'm always wrestling with, like, I don't intrude into my friends.
Yep.
I don't look in. I seem to be able to look in when people are in session,
mm-hmm.
but not intrude in at other times.
Mm-hmm.
So the relevance of this is that we have right now, I think it's important to seize the opportunity we have to really up-level our boundary making.
Mm-hmm.
And boundaries I envision as being white picket fence with the slats very close together,
mm-hmm.
but not touching, and they're on wheels.
Oh, wow, okay.
So you can move them very easily.
Up, forward and back. Mm-hmm.
Yep, depending on the situation. So if you imagine you're in your house, a house, there's the front door, there's the screen door, there's the front yard, there's the street, and then on and on. You can put the fence wherever you want. And it can change depending upon the circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to move them quite often,
mm-hmm.
In order to see things from differing perspectives,
right.
Which is good. And I've watched clients wrestle with this.
Mm-hmm.
People who are entitled, for instance,
mm-hmm.
And there's, you know, a lot of them,
mm-hmm.
Tend to be quite intrusive in terms of their expectations,
mm-hmm.
but quite withholding when it comes to giving.
Right.
Okay. So that's just an example. So they're going to define you as needy,
mm-hmm.
if they don't want to give you something.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So that's how those things play out. You know, I'm just trying to, you know, paint
right.
with
gonna,
a wide
they're
brush.
They're going to define you as selfish if you don't want to give them what they
correct.
Want.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. So so I've been playing around with boundaries with clients, and you know, they're some of them continue to be very attracted to what's going on around them. Because it's very shiny and not as hard work.
Yep.
And I try to get them to pay attention to what's going on inside of them. And there are people who then go to, well, this is just how it is.
Mm-hmm.
Which brings us closer to the bridge to mask. So it's not, if you stay with yourself,
mm-hmm.
Something wants to sprout up like the earliest crocus mm-hmm. in the spring. But you have to stay there. Like, I'm very clear, I'm in a very hard time. I set things up so that I was faced with an impossible amount of things to do.
Mm-hmm.
I had, in the past 3 weeks, I was completely running on empty,
mm-hmm.
and I, to begin with.
Right.
And I am spending too much time by myself,
mm-hmm.
and I emptied out all of Gene's stuff upstate,
mm-hmm.
which was really not a good, I mean, it was just, was not okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I made a huge pile of stuff for a friend's three sons who are going to make good use of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then she carted it the rest of the way to get donated.
Mm-hmm.
Then I left, went back, and went to Wisconsin,
mm-hmm.
where I created a new home for my mother. And that was...
the pictures were beautiful.
The pictures, yes, from afar, it was a success.
Mm-hmm.
The place itself is amazing. The it has a high frequency, and the people who live there have a vibrance. The people who work there are very kind and not respectful. So this is all good. But it was not made easy for me to do this.
Right.
And I had to have really good boundaries about not responding when somebody was explaining what was wrong with me,
mm-hmm.
And why we, you know, had a hard time in the past.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't say anything, and because I just went, they wouldn't get it.
Mm-hmm.
But from then on, in the middle of them doing their part, I went, "You've got to stop."
Mm-hmm.
You know, like if I'm putting something on the wall and it's getting fiddled with, like I put 12 things on a wall, and three of them or four of them got taken off. And I said, "You got to stop."
You said that to yourself?
No.
Go to the other people.
Yeah.
All right, got it.
I said, "This isn't okay."
Mm-hmm.
So,
And how'd they take it?
I didn't care. They stopped.
Okay. They stopped. Okay, good.
We didn't discuss it, and my boundary was I don't want to engage with this.
Mm-hmm.
I also am dealing with that with the remnants of Gene's office. It's that I do not want to engage.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I'm setting extremely generous parameters,
mm-hmm.
Which I'm not being thanked for.
Mm-hmm.
The message is being delivered by others, but at no point is it acknowledged.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just watching from the boundary I set, which is allowing me to see ever more clearly
mm-hmm.
that I'm living in a debris field.
Okay.
It's like, you know, what was it? Superman's home planet, Krypton?
Kryptonite, yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, but that was Kryptonite, was the stone.
The
but
stone
Krypton,
that came
I think.
From
whatever
Krypton,
it was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
it was an ite of Krypton, yeah.
Yeah. There was a debris field
yes.
when it exploded.
Yes.
And I'm in it. So I made this decision 3 weeks ago because as soon as I came back, a friend of mine came to recover from a heart procedure. You know, the next day, then as soon as that was over, I had work and then this class, which was very difficult. And then I came up, we cleared out all of Gene's stuff from New York. And I had Rachel and a professional who I'm friends with, who's always helped us, who I feel safe with. And it was, you know, like 20 huge bags of stuff.
Yeah.
And I had given a whole bunch of people an opportunity to come and take whatever they wanted and given other things away, all that stuff. So physically, it was really not doable. It was begun with a feel of depletion.
Mm-hmm.
It ended with me feeling even more depleted because bags are still, you know,
yeah.
piled up. And then there was another problem, because you can only donate up to $5,000 without an appraisal, whatever, and it was way more than that. And we hadn't packed allowing for that variable.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I cannot unpack this and repack it based on anything.
Right.
And then I came back up here, and I didn't even stop at our house. I drove right past the house, and I'd been up since very early morning seeing clients. and went right to the Social Security office because there was yet another thing there. And I sat there, and it was the most gruesome waiting room I've been in a long ever, maybe. And it wasn't that many people, and I've been there before, but it just happened to be the particular mix of people
right.
was particularly horrible.
Mm-hmm.
And I just sat there, and I sat there for, because I didn't have an appointment, it was like going on an hour and a half, and I went, oh, my God, I didn't shield myself.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I just looked at my, and how did I notice this? Because my boundary changed, and I got interested in what was going on inside of me rather than outside of me. Like, I went, why am I paying attention to this if it's bringing me unhappiness?
Right.
So I went inside, and my first thing was, do I want to stay here? I don't need to.
Right. I can get up and leave.
Yeah.
I have sovereignty.
So, but also, you know, like, what do I want to do here? And I said, no, stay. You know, it's just stay. And the people who work there are varied. And there's usually all the windows have shutters except one person's working at a time. So I'm thinking this is going to...
All the windows have shutters? Say that again?
They just have shades that they pull down. So in other words, it's not like there's more than, at the top, two people when there are eight windows.
Okay.
At any given time. So it moves very slowly and you hear everything. And
really?
I needed to see somebody smart
because
I had complicated questions. And I just went inside and I went, I hadn't shielded myself. So I shielded myself and then I went, I need some help.
Mm-hmm.
I just need help. And then they called somebody who then took about 2 seconds because I thought, fine, now I'm going to end up with the bad person. But the person needed to say, so anyway, so I ended up with the head of the thing, like the person who, really helped me.
Mm-hmm.
And, last time. And she said, I remember you. I don't remember what, but I remember you. I said, I'm so glad I'm here. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I was just praying you would show up because she hadn't been in evidence. And I even asked if she was working and they had no idea.
Okay.
So, she really helped me, and I don't think I ever have to go back.
Nice.
I think that we're done.
Nice.
And if I have to go back, and I was quite concerned, and I had gone to experts in New York who gave me wrong information, or at the time I didn't trust it, but it didn't feel right, but it was wrong about penalties and stuff. And so that was taken care of, even though I didn't have it to put out, and I really needed to go to the bathroom, I drove directly there because they were going to close. I knew they were closed the next day.
Right.
So I just made a decision for myself to accept that I was putting out more than – I was taking a gamble
mm-hmm.
with my energy.
Right.
So that seems to be what it is. But it's much more I'm very focused on my internal process
mm-hmm.
at the moment. And that's because things feel masked to me.
Things what?
Feel masked.
Okay.
So as we started the show, I hadn't talked to Ann about it, but it didn't feel like we're done yet with the earthquake thing or
right.
with Ann is saying the hurricane thing. I'm not that tuned into that.
Yeah.
But that doesn't go all the way down for me. That's some other kind of thing going on.
Yeah.
But there's stuff that's not revealed. So there's no point in paying attention to the news.
Mm-hmm.
So the best use of this energy is to see where I'm at and what best serves me. And where I am, it seems, is slotting through this debris field.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, by definition, depleting. But if I didn't understand it, it would feed into I'm doing everything wrong, I'm bad, which is the old message I grew up with.
Right, right.
And that's the payoff here, is that it feels like that, but it may not be like that.
Right.
So we have to stop in 2 seconds. So the shorthand for this is it's excitement and anxiety feel exactly the same.
And that has always been fascinating to me, that they have that same space.
Yes.
And they can be very hard with the body to tell what the difference is.
Yes. So what's masked right now, unless you use a lot of your tools, is what's good and what's not.
Right. Right.
And you really do need to connect to your heart to be able to go, I'm terrified, but I know that I shouldn't be. It seems like the universe has my back.
Right.
It doesn't feel that way, but all evidence points to it. Then you go to your head and you go, I'm going to lean more towards my head at the moment.
Right.
And usually I lean more towards my feelings, but now is not the moment to do that because it would be inaccurate.
Right. Right.
So that's the payoff for all of that talking.
For all that energy. Yeah. Very cool.
All right.
We're done. The British lady said bye.
All right.
Off to my funeral.
Yes.
Wish everybody a great week. Watch for Venus. Pay attention to Mass. I think we still have more stuff coming with this eclipse. So I'm still hoping, not hoping, but I'm still anticipating an earthquake out west. We do have the fires out there, which we maybe should talk about next time. And
okay.
I don't think it's Miami, or not Miami, Mexico. So, and hopefully Jose and Katia don't do much stuff. So, and we'll be back next week.
We will.
Big hugs to all. Lots
Take
of
care,
love.
Annie.
Bye, honey.
Bye.
You too.